Welcome to Jungle Talk, your indoor plant podcast. I'm Tim Harper from Banks and Brown, and joining me each episode is Hayley Sutherland from Indoor Jungle.
Evening, Timothy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You?
I know, I'm all right.
Good.
We're back. We're back again.
Yes.
And we have a couple of things to talk about today. So today's topic, I guess, is we're going to talk about cover pots and nursery pots and the different types that are available. And then we're going to talk about the chain of hearts,
yes,
which I think is one of my favourites.
I think it's a good one.
But we'll get to that shortly. Yeah. Would you like to just go through a brief introduction about the difference between a cover pot and a nursery pot?
Yep. So cover pots, nursery pots, I think it's something that some people get a little bit confused about, isn't it? So in the nursery industry or horticulture industry, garden industry, we tend to refer to all of those decorative pots as cover pots these days. I think that's a fairly easy way to talk about them. And a lot of them do have holes and a lot of them don't have holes. So I think that's where a little bit of the confusion comes
and
in.
And some have
people.
Sources. Which adds
yeah,
more
some
confusion.
Have sources. So we'll get to that bit as well. So when we refer to cover pots as planty people and indoor plant people, we make sure that we're trying to put the nursery pots, which is those black plastic pots or whatever colour they might be, but the pot that your plant comes in when you buy it from the shop, that's what people refer to as a nursery pot. So I guess what we're trying to educate people and teach people is that keeping your plants in those nursery pots is a really healthy way of keeping your plants, and then popping that inside a cover pot, or aka decorative pot,
yes,
cachet pot, hole or no hole, regardless.
Yeah.
Saucer, no saucer, regardless. Because there's a couple of reasons why we're trying to encourage that, and it, a lot of it comes down to watering. So a lot of what we seem to talk about comes back to watering all the time, but that's because that's a huge part of keeping a healthy plant. So plastic pot / nursery pot is that pot that your plant comes in, and then you've got your cover pot or your decorative pot. And regardless of whether that's got a hole, we like to use that as an outer pot so that you can, yeah, remove the plant really easily.
Yeah,
watering.
I think the odd thing is, like, I'd say probably 60 to 80% of the pots we have now, I'm talking decorative cover pots, probably don't have holes. I'd say that's probably from a manufacturing point of view, they've realised it is truly just a decorative
pot. Cover pot.
And the hole is pointless.
Yeah.
So a hole, if you think back, like, to my mum's garden, not that you knew my mum, she's still alive, but not that you know her garden, and you've got terracotta pots and things outside, they all have holes in them because the water's got to drain somewhere. Yep. So I think as time went on and pots became, decorative cover pots became so much more varied, the hole just stayed in them because
it was just how it was done, that's right.
Now they're sort of, you know, there's a bit of a crossover between a pot and a vase, or a vase.
Vase.
And therein lies the confusion. So, yes. So I'd say I guess the key is, our advice is treat any plant that you're going to put inside as though you do not want water to come out on something, whether there's a pole or not.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I guess that leads us into the pots, these decorative pots that have a hole, but they also have a saucer.
Yes.
So that saucer, I guess, sort of leads people into believing that it's there to be watered into. Whereas if, I guess, when I'm doing my workshops and trying to teach people and educate people about watering a plant correctly, we all know we have to thoroughly water a plant when we water it. It's got to be watered to saturation. Well, if you're watering a plant like that into a cover pot with a hole that's got a saucer, that's going to flood. So water's going to go everywhere. So that source is essentially going to be useless if you're actually watering your plant properly.
I feel like the saucer comes from the era of kind of half protecting your decking area,
yeah,
but also some smaller pots and saucers from that era. I guess, you know, there are plants outside that benefit from having that bit of water in the bottom. Mm. But
yeah, like
inside,
a fern or a maidenhair or something like that.
Yes, yeah. Inside, completely irrelevant.
Yeah,
just decorative.
They are. It is just decorative. And, you know, it does look nice. I've got plenty of pots at home that have saucers under them because that's how they came and it looks really nice. But
it's like putting a big spoiler on a car. Like it, yeah. On a normal street, it's doing nothing. It just it's there for charm.
That's right. You could look at it like that.
So yeah. rule of thumb, whatever the plant is that you get, keep it in that nursery pot.
Mm.
The challenge is finding a nice decorative pot that it fits in, because the decorative pot industry doesn't seem to talk to the nursery industry that produces the plants.
No.
So, yeah, that's the first problem, is having pots that have like muffin top effect, where the top's bulging out over the top of the of the decorative one.
Yeah.
So some of the, there's so many different decorative pots available. So you've got, you know, terracotta through to ceramic, different types of handmade ones, baskets.
Tin ones, that's tin. Right. Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, you treat your decorative pots like you would it's a basket or something that you can't water into. It's
funnily enough, a lot of the baskets now have a plastic liner in them, which is a good thing for if you happen to accidentally water them.
Yeah.
But I fear that it encourages people
to water
to plant
into them.
Into
yeah,
them
plant into them. Yeah. I guess something as well, you know, with the decorative pots is the ones that have the holes in them. I am a big user of the little plastic nursery saucers that you can get that fit your nursery cover, your nursery pots. So I actually tend to put one of those little saucers inside my cover pots. A lot of them, even the cover pots that have no holes, only because once I've watered a plant and I pop it back into that cover pot, that just helps to catch the drips and it sort of keeps the cover pot clean.
Yeah.
It stops any manky, you know, build up.
It's like when you go to someone's house and they've got a really expensive couch, but they have all plastic covering over it.
Yeah, that's right. So that when they move out, they can take that plastic cover off if they want to sell that couch, then they can strip it and it's perfect in perfect condition. So that's what I do with my cover pots. I try and keep them in really good, clean condition so that if, A, I don't want it anymore, I want to sell it, or I want to use it for another plant or whatever. But I just think it's because then that little saucer is the bit that gets a few drips in it. Saucer's really easy just to take out, wipe, clean, whatever, put through the dishwasher. But yeah, if it is a cover pot that has a hole, then that little saucer catches those few drips after watering.
So super common mistake that we would see, probably the most common mistake you see, is somebody who's bought a plant and purely for not knowing or understanding how it needs to drain, is buying a plant, planting it straight into that little decorative pot, hole or no hole, often no hole.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they're watering it, basically, they're drowning it.
Yeah, it's just, that's a funeral waiting to happen.
It is, because once water goes into there, it's dark, it's not going to it can't go anywhere.
No.
It's not going to evaporate. No. It just creates like a bog marsh at the bottom of the plant.
It's like a cool science experiment in the bottom of that pot.
Yeah, and often the leaves will start browning off and they'll panic and water it more. You know, people still do tell me that they, you know, if it's got the hole in it, they plant it. But the concern I still have, one, is that generally it's still not enough to drain it.
Yeah.
A nursery pot's got sort of 360 degrees worth of little holes.
All around, yeah.
But also, I would question how you're watering it then. Because if you're still taking it out to water, you may as well have it in a nursery pot.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that's right.
You go around in circles with a layman.
That's true. So, yeah, you're right. If they've planted into a ceramic pot with one hole, like you said, that's really not ample drainage, and that potting mix is going to be staying a lot wetter for a lot longer in that ceramic pot versus the nursery pot that's got a whole lot more holes in the bottom of it.
Mm.
And like you said, how are they watering it? So if they're actually moving that pot and that plant to water it, whether it be to the sink or outside, then like you say, they might as well just keep it in that nursery pot. I do see a lot of pictures and photos and things like that on social media where people have planted into those ceramic pots with one hole, and then they've got plates and things, like dinner plates and stuff under them. So they're obviously watering through the top and then letting it sort of drain into that dinner plate. So you can totally get rid of all of that mess and that sort of ugliness, I guess, By just keeping it in that nursery pot. It's just super simple way to do it.
Yep. And then if it grows well and it ultimately needs to be potted up, well, it's a bonus.
That's right, because then you have to buy another cover pot.
Yeah. And, I mean, things like Devil's Ivy and Chain of Hearts we'll talk about shortly, they could, you know, they're generally quite happy for many years in that, like, the roots on them is so minimal.
Mm. Yeah.
They don't need to jump up into a massive pot for some time.
No.
And if they do, well, pay yourself on the back because it means you've done well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, again, then you can come and buy another cover pot.
Yeah.
But then you can buy a small one to go in that one. So, I mean, there's... So, what are your favourite types of...
Oh, my goodness. I think I've got a real addiction. I think cover pots is an addiction, as well as plants.
Yes.
I think cover pots is, like, the secondary addiction that comes from wanting a million plants. I think I have a thing for white cover pots at the moment. I don't know where that's come from, but I do. I don't know. I'm not a real pattern person. Yeah. Are you a pattern person?
I am a pattern person, but then I get bored of it very quickly.
Yeah, right. Well, then so you just buy another cover pot, don't you?
Yeah, or you have a whole shop of them you can choose from.
Yeah.
I think some a very common question I get, if someone's buying a gift, for example, or they haven't bought a pot before, is how they could pick the right one.
Mm.
So obviously the size, it has to fit the plant, number one. Then obviously you need to think about where it's going, which is often why if someone's looking for a gift, I say let's keep it pretty neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go and buy like a hot pink.
Yeah.
Or like the little granny and grandpa pots that we have, which are fun, but probably not someone's first. Yeah. They're not going to put it on their kitchen bench.
I think as a gift, a good rule of thumb, the classic
white
pot.
Yeah.
Really, you can't really go wrong because you can put white anywhere in the house.
Yeah, and also by having the ability to remove your nursery pot, once they've got it, they can do what they want with it. Put a different plant in it.
Yeah.
Put pencils in it if they don't like plants. But at least it's not a clash with any wallpaper or tiling or paint they have in their house.
I particularly like the pots that have the little three little feet.
Yep.
They're always cute. I'm not a huge face pot or head pot.
Yeah.
I do have one or two.
Yeah. They do border on kitsch.
Yeah, and I don't have a million of them, but there's one I've got a massive Rypsalis in.
Yeah.
And it hangs down the side of her face, like she's like a hipster. So. That kind of suits it.
I must admit, that a lot of the like animal character ones, the more tasteful of the animal character ones, I've noticed is a really good way to get younger kids interested. Sell quite a few where mum or dad's buying something and the son or daughter spots like the lion or the like the raccoon or whatever the little pot is, gets a little rabbit plant with it. And then you talk to them a couple of months later and they're like, oh, they're just obsessed with looking after it. Which is really good.
Yeah. And I guess that's the beauty of the cover pots is that, you know, you can swap, change, and they do go from, like you say, the age range from a little child all the way up to
the other nana end. Pot.
Up to the nana pots or...
Yeah.
Is that even... can we say that?
What?
Nana pots.
What's wrong with a nana pot?
I don't know. What? We're not offending anyone saying that.
Well, if you're offended to be a nana, you... Anyway.
Anyway.
So, rule of thumb, keep it in the nursery pot, put it in the other pot, the decorative pot, understand that they're two different things, and you've gone a long way to success with your plants.
That's like the very first step of keeping a healthy plant. That's like tick, you've got that one done.
Yep.
But we should probably also talk about the fact that you don't have to worry about any of that stuff if you're putting plants outside.
Yes.
Like you can plant into pots with holes, like ceramic pots, concrete pots, your terracotta pots, if you're doing your outside patio garden.
Yeah.
And gardening outside because...
I guess the only difference there is if you, say, had one on a nice wooden table.
Yeah.
It comes back... That's the only exception to what you're saying. Is, but for watering. The same reasons as you would water an inside one, you don't want to damage the thing under it.
Yeah.
But yeah, any of those...
Yeah.
We like to call them patio options.
Yes.
Because you're not going to... They're going to dry out quickly if you've got small plants out there in summer. So I generally, even at the shop, if we've got some plants out under there, whether they're ferns or whatever, I'm essentially just hand watering them like I water any other plant out under the garden.
Yeah, you do. So. Because like you just said, they do dry out a lot quicker. So the idea of holding the moisture, so planting into those ceramic pots or the, you know, the big concrete pots or whatever, that helps to retain moisture in your, with your outdoor plants. So yeah, yep. And you can hose, you know, water them from the top, so that helps to retain the moisture, and then you're not watering quite so often outside.
I'm not sure if you can hear this coming through, but can you hear that bird talking to us through?
I can. Is that next door? Or
yeah, and it does talk sometimes, so if you can hear it in the background, it's
I hope he's enjoying the show.
Well, let's move on to the plant of this podcast, which is the chain of hearts, also known as...
I am going to say it's Serrapegia. Serrapegia? How do you pronounce
it? No, I like the G in there. Serrapegia.
Serrapegia.
Yeah.
Some people would pronounce it Creopegia.
Well.
But I think Serrapegia. Tomato, tomato.
Right. This is an interesting one for me because I think it gets bundled into the same kind of, incorrectly so, the same sort of group of plants as all of your string ofs, which is a completely different ballpark.
Mm.
They're all more succulents, basically. Yeah. Chain of hearts, it's... You've brought one in, which we're looking at, so that we can describe it. So, they can grow a lot of foliage off of very little root system. Mm. And often when you find them young, there'll be one or two little stems in the ground with a couple of roots, but they might have fallen down a metre.
Yeah.
100% a cascading plant.
Which is essentially what we're looking at here.
It is.
There's not too many stems in the top of the pot, but it's a good metre and a half long.
Yeah. And I think something, often some of the plants you see that just, they don't have a lot of growth in them yet. They might have one or two stems.
Strands.
What are we going to call them?
Strand?
Let's call them strands.
Strands.
And it's tempting to just let them keep going. But the nature of these plants is that if you kind of twirl them around while they're younger, they will put more roots into the soil.
Yeah.
And then you'll end up with a thicker strand.
Yeah.
So it's like a big dreadlock.
I guess what Tim's describing is to grab a few of those strands and twirl them up onto the top of the soil. And I've actually done that with this one here, and I've just used a couple of bobby pins.
Just to hold it against the soil?
To hold it into the soil, yeah, just to hold them against, so that it can help encourage the plant to touch that soil, and when I water it and stuff, and will develop some roots.
Because almost everywhere there's a leaf, there's a... option for a root.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's exactly right. And all those nodes.
Yep.
But I also noticed on my variegated one that I've got in one of the other rooms of the house, I was having a good look at that the other day, and that's developed some of those big nodules.
Oh, like a big proper. Yeah.
It's got some balls on it.
Nice.
And that's like a little root sort of ball nodule as well. So you could easily pull that little ball up, pop it into the soil, pin it in there somehow, and then that helps thicken it up and
if you ever break it as like well. I do every time I touch one. Mm-hmm. If you ever break a piece off, again, just twirl it around on the top of the soil. Yep. I had a gentleman come in the store last week in his 80s telling me about him and his wife that have got probably, I would love to see their indoor plants, because he said basically she's an indoor plant nut and he wanted to get her something for her birthday. But he was talking to me about these and teaching me all about how he propagates them and everything. He reckons the leaves on his, like, would be bigger than 50-cent pieces.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's probably a 30- or 40-year-old plant.
That's awesome. That'd be good to see.
But it's just, that takes years and good conditions.
Yeah.
I believe that one he had outside under the, hanging off the pergola.
Yeah. Well, that's, I guess that's one of the beauties of this one, this string of or chain of that we're talking about. This does grow well inside, as opposed to the other succulent-y type ones. It tolerates inside. I've got two inside, and they're both growing perfectly fine. They get to the extreme of dryness, because I do forget that where they are. One's in my daughter's bedroom, one's in the drum room, so they're kind of in rooms that I forget to walk into and check. So they, when I do water them, they are really dry, and then I just soak them, take them out of their cover pots, soak them and then put them back, and they're good for another goodness knows how long in my house.
Well, I've noticed with these, when I neglect them, I don't know if you've noticed this, but they will tend to start drying out at the end of the strand and working their way up. So it gives you a little warning.
Yeah.
If you don't if you don't sort of notice it, you might lose a metre.
Yeah.
But if you just snip that bit off, it'll come back hopefully thicker and stronger.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, watering-wise, you reckon it's just a typical, like, soak?
So soak or, you know, just saturate from the top through. So just repeat watering through the top, drain, put back where it lives. But this one's got some decent-sized little leaves on it. Maybe
it does.
20-cent piece size?
Pretty close to a 20-cent
piece. Not quite as big as your gentleman that came into the shop.
And where you've got yours, sort of morning sun kind of filtered, isn't it? It's not like it's ultra bright.
No, it's up high up on a shelf right at the sort of side of a big window that faces, I don't know, southeast or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bright light all day. That's if Lily opens the curtains.
Okay.
I mean, this poor thing, I think, lives in a cave sometimes as well, so it's very tolerant.
Yep.
The other one hangs right in front of the window, so, yeah, it gets that direct morning light through that window until the sun passes over in the morning, and that's the variegated one, so that quite
and it's relatively, like, in terms of the, like, proximity to the window, it seems to be all right.
Yeah.
The temperature changes and things.
Yeah. No, it's tough.
Yeah.
I would call this a super tough plant.
It's interesting because this one here, you don't feel hesitant to, like, pick it up, whereas when you first get one, I'll play with it afterwards.
Yeah.
when you first get one and they're quite small, they really can be quite fragile.
Mm.
But once they settle in,
yep.
I would say, though, if you're going to put this in, so this particular one we're looking at in that decorative pot is perfect example of a plant that can sit on a shelf and trail as opposed to hang. It's not a hanger that's hanging from the ceiling.
No, yeah, this is in a pot on a shelf.
But I've got a golden pothos in, well, here's the problem with common names. I've got the yellow pothos inside.
Mm-hmm.
And in the bathroom, and we've got it growing out of a plastic pot in a macrame.
Mm.
And even getting that's now get to a size now to get it out to water it and to unfurl it around things can be quite tricky, which is why I think these do are going to be easier if you've got it in a pot trailing because it's not getting hooked on ropes.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of examples of photos of beautiful ones that are huge.
Yeah, they're massive.
I
guess, I mean, when we talk about watering, we definitely talk about what you were just describing with your pothos, because I water all of my hanging macrame basket plants in situ.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's doable.
I don't, but I need you to set me up so that I do, because otherwise it's a nightmare.
It's super easy, and it's essentially like you're soaking them as if they were down on a bench, but you're doing it up where they live, so we can talk about that. But I don't know, I think these are great plants, and I can understand why they're really popular. I mean, this would have to be one of the most requested bought plants.
Yeah.
Do you find from?
Well, you know what I find about requested plants is as soon as you find them, everyone's got them already, and no one wants to buy them anymore.
Oh.
But
that sucks.
And also, the challenge is finding stock that's of a significant size.
Yeah.
Again, goes back to like expectations is. You want to walk in and find one of these that's like a metre long and as thick as like a big fat piece of rope. And then you walk in and find a single strand in a little pot.
Yeah.
Do you find any difference with the variegated one?
No, none at all. It's just as fast growing.
Yep.
It's very pretty to look at because it gives you those pink and real pink and purple tones.
But if it was outside, it'd probably be even pinker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very pink, very white.
Yep.
No, I have noticed no difference between them whatsoever.
And this one's grown in just premium potting mix by the look of it?
Yeah, it's just in a premium.
Yep.
Like, they don't need anything special.
No.
Nothing, not at all. I feed them, obviously. I feed all my indoor plants quite regularly, so that's usually just a liquid feed.
Yep.
After I've watered, and then I apply the water. Whatever it is, Seasol, Power Feed, Thrive, or
a throw those names out there. See if we can get a sponsor. We can.
Osmocote,
we need Eclipse, a sponsor.
Go Go Juice. I don't know. What do you use? What's your? Do you have a go to, or is it just whatever's in the cupboard?
Like well, me? I used to use. It was like a Thrive, I think it was, but indoor. Was it Thrive?
Yeah,
we'll take a sponsorship from anyone we can get. More recently, we used Munash or Munash.
Oh, yeah.
From Ballarat, which is really popular, and it's really cool. Product.
Yeah.
Again, happy if they want to sponsor the show. That's just literally I would soak water something and then I'd use that. It comes in a really fine granular form.
Mm.
So I water it all and then put that on and give it one last little water through.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they seem to respond. Mm. There's dozens and dozens of products out there.
Too many. Yeah. Too many to mention. Like, I've always got a couple of regulars, and it just sort of depends on what cupboard or bench I'm standing in front of as to what's in that cupboard that gets used.
I mean, your slow release is kind of a bit too slow, I think, because it's sitting there waiting to be wet.
Yeah.
You know, it's sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, it's only ever activated when you water it. But I guess, I mean, we're only ever fertilising with a liquid when you water too.
And our premium potting mix has got generally slow mix, a slow release.
I think having the slow release fertiliser gives you a little bit of peace of mind that you know it's there and it's good if you use a good quality one.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be have all those little trace elements and things like that that you need.
We will cover fertiliser later.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we don't have a rating system, do we?
Oh, should we make a rating system?
I don't know, but that's going to be misleading too, because it's kind of like having a water use scale a light scale.
That's just our opinion too.
Just have an opinion. I think it's an awesome plant. Fantastic indoor or undercover in the patio.
For those people that are wanting one of those string of or chain of or whatever ones,
start with this one.
Yeah, start with this one. It's super easy. And I think that's a really good point to make for people that are perhaps new to indoor plants. I think that, you know, they can get overwhelmed and flooded with all these amazing pictures of all these incredible, tricky, colourful plants out there. But, yeah, perhaps talk to your garden centres or the staff in the nurseries and the shops that know their stuff and find out what are some of those more hardy, first timer plants, because this would definitely be on my list of suggestions.
Excellent. Easiest way to kill it, overwatering it.
Yeah, or plant it into a pot with no hole. Plant it
straight into a pot and then overwater it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking about that just before we go. I was thinking about the analogy of, you know, planting straight into a pot with no hole and then watering it. It's kind of similar to like wearing gumboots and going above knee level in the water. You know, once the water goes in there, it cannot get out.
Yeah. I was thinking about it on the drive over here, actually, the analogy, and I was thinking it's kind of like never rinsing a drink bottle out.
Yeah.
You know, like it looks okay for a while and you can sort of forget that there might be germs or bacteria building up in the bottom. But eventually, you know, that mould will start and and it's going to be a bit manky. Like, you actually have to clean a drink bottle, even though you think you sort of,
But you can't clean it. Like, you can't clean the dirt out. Anyway,
no.
We could go on forever with that one. All right. Well, I think that's a good little wrap for our cerapegia.
Cerapegia?
Woody eye. I'm not sure who Wood was to get Woody Eye, but we don't need to go into Latin and botanical names, but...
That's a whole nother podcast.
Is there any Sutherlandiis?
Oh, I don't know. I've got a few plants at home that are doing some crazy things, so I'm hoping that there might be.
I'd love to have a plant named after me. Is that really, like, ego? I don't care, actually.
Who cares?
Enough plants out there that...
Yeah, all these other people have got plants named after them.
Why not Hyperiae. Echinacea Hyperiae.
That sounds better than Sutherlandii.
I don't know.
That's a bit of a tongue twister.
Brownie Eye is a bit unfortunate that he's got plants named after.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Who our store is named after. Mm. All right, well, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Jungle Talk is proudly produced by Space Capsule Garden Company. You can check out Haiti at The Indoor Jungle, or myself at Space Capsule Garden Co. You can also check out more information at Banks and Brown. A big thanks goes to Logan Sutherland for his work on the drums for our theme song.